Questions, so I hope to be hearing from you. So this is a webinar in fiction and memoir writing. As Liz told you, I have a PhD in creative writing, and I have also published quite a bit in both fiction and creative nonfiction, and my novel is about to come out this spring. So I'm really looking forward to hearing from you. And so I'm going to try something out right at the very beginning, which is to see if everybody knows how to raise a hand on the chat room. Do people know how to do that, Kajit? Excellent. Oh, fantastic. Oh, that's great. Oh, spectacular. Okay, great. Looks like everybody's very conversant with Blackboard. So anybody, you just know there's a little hand right at the top of your chat room that you can click it. It sounds to me like just about everybody's got that. So fabulous. Okay, so I just want to take a quick survey at the beginning. Put your hands down. We're going to start over again. I'm just going to ask where people are with their writing. The four possibilities are you're in the thinking stage, you're working on something, you have written something, or you have published. So can I just get a quick show of hands about people in the thinking stage? Fantastic, fantastic, great, wonderful. How about people in the writing stage? Okay, fantastic, that's also wonderful. How about have written, have finished something on the editing? Super. That is really wonderful. We have a real spread, okay? And how about have published something? Super, that is so helpful. Okay, great. Very good. Okay, thanks so much. That gives me some idea. So if I haven't talked about something that you want to have talked about, just let me know and I'll get to that in the questions. I'm going to go through just the first set of slides talking about writing fiction. Then I'm going to pause for questions and I will then go on to talk about publishing. So the first thing I'd like to say about writing fiction, might sound just a little bit obvious, but my first suggestion for writing fiction is to write. And I'm using a quote from Edna Ferber, "The ideal view for daily writing, hour for hour, is the blank brick wall of a cold storage warehouse. Failing this, a stretch of sky will do, cloudless if possible." In other words, really there's nothing to do but write. That you don't have anything else to do. I always have said it would be really a terrible thing to have a video camera in my house when I'm trying to write because I bounce from place to place and it takes me a long time to finally, kind of like a dog mashing the grass down, to finally get enough of it mashed down to write. But basically, the only way to write is to write, to clear up the time and just do it. There are lots of different suggestions for that, for doing that. I know there are a lot of people who experience anxiety about they haven't written or they haven't taken a class in writing or they just don't feel like they have the background for it. And I would say in my client work, my favorite people to work with are the people who have experience who may not have writing experience, but they have life experience. And that really is what drives great writing. After that, it's just really a question of sitting down and doing it. I'm going to suggest throughout this part of the presentation, particular forms that you could use to try this suggestion out on. So the form I would suggest that you try just writing is the personal essay. And that is an essay about your life where you're just talking about your experiences and you really just sit down and pour it out almost like a journal. You'll shape it later, but the first time around I would just say get it down on paper. And an example of a person who does really outstanding personal essays, I think, is Anne Lamott. People may have read some of her essays, but she has a number of collections, among them, Tender Mercies. She also publishes in Salon regularly, so it's easy to find her stuff. And my second suggestion, which was kind of a big surprise, is write some more. And here I'm suggesting that you put weather in. In other words, when you've written something, go back and do some more on it. Elaborate, put some weather in, do something different. Writing isn't supposed to be easy. I often hear people say, well, it just doesn't come easily to me. I can tell you I've been doing it for many, many years, and it really doesn't come easily to me. It's a habit and a discipline. Like anything, any art form. So just go ahead and do it. I think once you find you've tricked yourself into going there, it gets a lot easier. But you can always try stopping. Those who make it are those who don't quit and who are somehow driven. I have met so many people who have that bug. And can't not do it, and they just persist, and that really is the secret to writing and getting published. One thing I suggest to people is they start with just 15 minutes a day. You'd be just amazed what you can do in 15 minutes a day. And I set a goal for myself when my kids were really young; they were babies, in fact. Of writing 2 pages a day, and I would get up before they got up, which was really early, because people know who have young children, and I would be cranking it out. Sometimes one of those little kids would show up and just, he would end up in my lap while I was finishing my second page. But if you do that every day, at the end of the year, you've got a big, fat novel. So it's just really a question of persistence. And a form I would suggest doing a little bit more elaboration in is the lyric essay, which is also about your life, but you spend a little bit more time in the poetry of it, and creating the metaphor, creating the weather, the place. And I really suggest reading Catherine Winograd's Bathing, which is a beautiful lyric essay. I would also, in this area, really strongly suggest that you not take the common writing advice to write what you know, and go ahead and write what you don't know. The book that I'm publishing this spring, you can see it, called The Algebra of Snow, takes place in the Adirondack Mountains in winter, where I've never been, and not at that time of year, and is about a mathematician, and I can't act. So I had a lot of experience in writing what I don't know, and I strongly recommend it. I also strongly recommend, and Stephen King seconds me on this, that you read, that you just read extensively. Stephen King says if you don't have the time to read, you don't have the time or the tools to write. And I really don't know any writers who aren't also readers, who read widely. I read nonfiction, blog posts, newspapers, you name it. But I also noticed this a long time ago, that what I read mostly are novels, and that is in fact what I have ended up writing. I remember having a conversation with E.L. Doctorow once about, he said that he could tell by his students' sentence length whether they were going to be novels or short stories, and I think that probably has to do with long, complicated sentences are probably novelists, and very short lyric sentences are probably more suited to the short story or a lyric personal essay. So the form I would suggest trying to settle on is also a kind of personal essay or creative nonfiction called reportage. And that is doing some reading about something and then talking about it. This can be a review or a review of the cultural situation, do a little bit of research, and then start writing that up. An example of that is a very recent essay that caught the big stir in the Atlantic Monthly, Sandra Singlow's Why I Want My Father to Die, which is a review of not only her situation with her father, but the literature on the extension of life. The next tip I would strongly suggest is to really review, but don't do this at the same time. Go ahead and write. When you're done, when you really feel done with it, take some time and go back and review, and be quite heartless about this. People who've been in writing groups with me know that I can be a little bit heartless when it comes to this, in a good way, I certainly hope. You must learn to overcome your very natural and appropriate revulsion for your own work, says William Gibson. There does tend to be a kind of reaction against your work or a kind of protectiveness about your work, which is a very natural, it is a kind of trial. But I would strongly suggest getting a writing buddy or a group of people who are rating at more or less the same level. They can be just tremendously helpful. There are a lot of really great groups. If you're in Charlottesville, there's some wonderful groups in town. Listen to the criticism if it's coming from more than one person in particular. I'm working with a client who is taking his book out to agents at this point, and I really suggested that he listen to the criticism of a number of agents before he started changing anything. It can be really tempting just to dive in and fix something. Somebody says, oh, I don't like that comma. If you've got two or three people saying, I don't like that comma, then you probably ought to be thinking about whether you should change that comma or not. I also strongly suggest that you learn how to give good criticism, because that is really a great way to learn how to write, is by helping other people learn how to write. The form that I would suggest practicing this in is something called flash fiction, and I've given an example of it there, and I'm not going to read it exactly. Longed for him, got him. And that's Margaret Atwood's flash fiction. One thing I would like for people to try, and you can do this here or you can do this later, is to write a 6-word memoir. That's a flash memoir, not flash fiction. But that is a great exercise in trying to get your life or a bit of your life down in 6 words. Does anybody have a question? Okay, let's see that. Okay. In creative writing workshops is to really take a very generous view without being false. And the question that I like to ask the most is, what does this piece want to be? And I think that if you talk about it as aspirational, as what it wants to be, what it wants to express, what is the worldview, what do these characters want to say, that can be a generous and helpful way of presenting criticism. I think it's really important to be always thinking that you have a goal. You're wanting to help the writer be better. You're not just attacking it. It's very easy to attack and tear things down, and that's not going to help the writer, and it won't help you learn how to give some criticism. So I would suggest, being generous while being very true. Does that help? We can talk some more about that when we get to the questions. Let me just go ahead and finish this section, and then I'll be glad to answer questions about this section of it. So the last tip of my five tips is to revise. And there I'm using a quote from Ernest Hemingway, which is that prose is architecture, not interior decoration. And I understand that to mean that it really does have to do with the structure of the work, and that can be very deep, and you might have to be really willing to take it all apart. In other words, revising means to revision, to see it over again from a new point of view. And I have done some really crazy things when I have been in the midst of a revision. I was absolutely positive that it was right the first time around, but it wasn't going over the way that I wanted it to. I had an agent who had a book out at a number of places, and people said, oh, we like this, it's not quite right. So I spent a weekend, I sent my kids away, and spent a weekend with butcher paper all over my house. And I took apart the whole plot and put it up on different pieces of butcher paper and used color pens. And I moved things from the kitchen to the living room and back again. And by the time that weekend was over, I had completely restructured the book. But it was much better. My kids did think I had lost my mind when they came home and found the house wallpaper with scribbled on big stickies. But I had a way better book, and so that was all worth it. You have a lot of stories for me about what my children have endured, or how I've tried to be a mom and a writer at the same time. It definitely involves early hours and coffee and thermoses. So the format I would suggest looking at for in terms of revision and for practicing revision is the short story, because that is a very tight, beautiful form. It takes a lot of work, and if you have a good short story, you really do know how to structure. And one of the best short stories I know of is Anne Beattie's The Burning House, which just really has an extraordinary structure to it. Okay, so I am open for questions on this section. I would love to hear from you. I think that there are lots and lots of really great books out there that have that help with writer's block. One suggestion I would make is to go with it. I know that's really counterintuitive, but to write around it. To do all kinds of different writing, do free writing, do journal writing, use some prompts. Sometimes when you're blocked, there's a reason why you're blocked. There's something in the way there. So I would write around it until you find out what it is, and then go with it. Again, you want to go gently on yourself, but you do definitely want to exercise that discipline of just showing up every day. I think it's Alice Walker talks about, she has to be at the desk when the lightning strikes. You can spend a lot of time sitting there reading things that you don't think are fabulous, but you have to be there in order to capture the really beautiful moment. When it gets there. So I really recommend being strongly gentle with yourself about writer's block. Sure, I'll be happy to. The first two are write and write some more. Those might sound really redundant, but they really are not. It really is. That's the crucial thing, is to just do it and then do it some more. Layer it in, write some other stuff, write some other forms, but just keep doing it. Whatever commitment you've made to yourself, just keep doing it. The third is to read widely, but notice what you're reading. Write about what you're reading. And notice the way that the things that you're reading are structured. The fourth is to review, which is to really listen to what other people say about your work, or if you have that capacity, you look at it yourself, or you put it aside and you find it out again and you've really looked at it and seen that there are things that need to be changed. That's lucky. But if you ever get a buddy or get a group, they are just wonderfully helpful. And the last one is really to revise, is really to be willing to take it apart and start over again if that's what you feel really called to do, or your trusted readers have suggested to you that you do. That is such a fantastic question, and I have thought about that so much, and I really struggled with that at the beginning of my writing career, because it seemed to me that people really outlined stuff, and I really didn't do that. I really did just kind of, when I was first writing novels, really like setting out on crossing the ocean. I didn't know how I was going to get there. I think that there are actually two different ways of approaching writing. One is by the outline method, and some people do know where they're going with it, and they just follow a path and arrive there. The other way is just to it's just to set out. It's just to launch and go a step at a time. One thing I do have to say about my method, which is to just launch out there and see what happens approach, is you do end up having to do an awful lot of revision. So I'm the queen of revision. I have revised so many things so many times that I'm very comfortable with it. And I have to say that it's really an individual thing. I am a dinosaur in that I actually write everything longhand. I type it on the computer, and I often write it longhand again for at least two more rounds. And then I can start revising on the computer. But I have to say that it's just extremely individual. Some people start out outlining. Some people don't, but go back and outline. And as I said, I have gotten really creative with revising sometimes with just, you know, wallpapering my house with a revision. So I think it really is to, you know, really look at how you work in other areas. If you're an outliner, I would definitely do that. Here are some really terrific books. And I'll put a list of these up on my website, some fantastic resources. There's a wonderful book called, I think it's called Write a Novel in 30 Days, which is a very, very, very outlined approach, and it's actually very good. I've used it going backwards after I've written a novel. I've gone back and used her method to look at where I've been with it. It's an art form, and I think you have to find what feels really comfortable to you, or work with a coach who can help you find the method that works the very best for you. I do a lot of that back work as I go. I will often find myself in a situation where I have a character I feel like I don't understand well enough, and I'll take some time out, and maybe my two pages for that day will be just a character sketch that I know I'm not going to use in the piece, but I just need to know them. Another book I could really recommend strongly is a book called The Weekend Novelist. I and several members of my writing group when I was sitting in Nashville used this book. It's a really wonderful little book that helps you on the weekends. Obviously, this is for people who are working full-time, as I am, and probably many of you are too. Gives you real structure for working on the weekends, for developing the plot, developing the place, developing the characters, and so on. Again, the Write a Novel in 30 Days does a great job of that too. She gives you a wonderful framework for describing your characters and developing your plot. And I can really strongly recommend Butcher Paper too. That definitely works. Wow. Wow, that's a fantastic question. I love that. So, well, lucky you that you have at least two stories. I know I have such terrible anxiety when I finish one novel if I'm going to have another one. So I always have one going in the back of my head. So I won't feel bereft letting go of one. I would say that you, for a novel, it has to be absolutely complete. That story has to be finished. Harry Potter is really a brilliant example of this. There was a dominant theme that we knew was going to run through all, I think it was six books, eight books. But each book closed completely with that part of the story. So I think you can't leave. You have to have one theme that's running forward, maybe some characters that are running forward, but you can't leave things dangling in one book. There has to be a satisfying close. But that's a great problem to have, is to have another a sequel coming. Great kindness. So congratulations. Very good. So I'm not going to tell. I'm going to work into the technical part of the program. So as I said, my novel is coming out this spring. My first novel is coming out this spring. I'm going to be one of those overnight sensations that took 30 years. I finished this book a long time ago, but I was working full time and raising kids by myself, and it took a long time for it to happen. I'm very happy that it is happening though, and I have also published a number of essays and so on. Is there a question, or is this another? Okay. All right, no problem. No, I understand perfectly about interruptions. That really seems to be the way of the world. So these are three paths to publication. Probably a lot of you are very familiar with these different paths. I'm going to talk a little bit about how the world of publishing within my career has really turned upside down. So we'll look at those three different ways to the path to publishing, the commercial press, the small press, or journals, and e-publishing and self-publishing. So when I first started writing, commercial publication was the thing we were all trying for. We knew that it was hard. It always has been extremely hard. It's always been very difficult to break into the big New York publishers. It's always been the most prestigious, and it still is the most prestigious. It's not necessarily the most desirable at this point, and there are some real reasons for that. Among them, commercial publication has really become very, very narrow, and I think that it is the case that there are only six big publishing houses anymore. I may have that number wrong, but they've really been eaten up by big companies, by big conglomerates. So there actually are very, very few publishing houses in the commercial world. Random House, of course, is one. Simon & Schuster. And that is still, if you have that ability, that is still a great way to go. There are very few books that really qualify for commercial publication. I've been working in the place for quite a while, and of the many, many, many wonderful work that I have had the pleasure of dealing with, I really only have one client that has, I think, a real shot at commercial publication, and that has been a long road. So, you know, commercial publication, you're looking for something that lots and lots of people are interested in, that has probably a strong plot line, has very strong characters, and the subject is somehow very timely or has tremendously broad appeal. Commercial publication, and often at this point, the author has to have a very strong platform as well. We'll talk a little bit more about what platform looks like for fiction writers and memoirs. But again, that is, it is very desirable. There's no question about that. But the world has shifted a little bit, and so I'll go on to talk about the next level of publication, which is journal and small press publication. Journals for short stories or personal essays, small presses for books. There are many, 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 many small presses and journals. And so it's an incredible wealth of opportunities. There are journals and small presses at universities. There are niche publishers. If you have a short story or a memoir, a piece of creative nonfiction you'd like to place somewhere, I really recommend just going to your nearby university library, going into the journals room, and just really spending time with those journals. Go through and, once again, try to match your sentence style to the sentence style that they're taking, because each journal has a different editorial inclination. And I have literally had stories rejected. I won't name names, but I've had stories rejected where people said, these characters are so vacuous, the writer doesn't seem interested in them. That's a direct quote. You see how easily I let go of that one. And the very, very, very same story, without one word changed in it, went to another journal, and they wrote back immediately and said, this is just exhilarating writing. So it was just different editorial views, and that's all there was to it. So go look for the ones that are really looking for you. For books, the small university presses can be a wonderful experience. My book is coming out from a small press in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm very happy with the experience. I've been very involved with it. Small presses tend to keep the book in print much longer. They tend to publicize well. There tends to be less turnover with your editors. The advance may be smaller, but it will, in all likelihood, it's still better over time because they won't remainder it. It won't get sent to the dungeon. So take a look at Writer's Market and Poets and Writers magazines, both great, great sources for databases. For those, and then do take the trouble to go and read them and look and see what actually really fits your style. And what has really turned the publishing world upside down is the whole world of e-publishing and self-publishing. The difference between those is that e-published book is one that only appears in electronically. Usually a PDF, and self-publishing, which is a book, it's an actual bound book, but it is paid for by the writer. And the two places that I know of that people are using a lot are Amazon, Areas you have to create, you have your own market. It used to be, again, when I started off in this business, that that was a terrible thing to do. It is seen completely differently now, at least partly because books like Chicken Soup for the Soul turned that upside down. They sold that book out of the trunk of their car for a while because it never was taken by a commercial publisher, and then it got picked up. And of course, it's huge. So that does happen. It's relatively rare, but I just recently heard an agent speaking who said that the commercial publishers will look at somebody who is selling, if they have self-published something, they're selling it in the thousands. The commercial publishers will look at that because it means that they have something that people are buying, and they're showing some ability to sell that. So again, that's totally upside down from the way that I learned the business, but it's seen as legitimate. I would strongly suggest that people not self-publish without a good professional editing. That's well worth doing before you put it out there. The other thing that writers have to keep in mind is that it is the digital age. Writers and fiction writers and memoirists really are part of this situation. They do need to be involved with social media. This is a whole other webinar, but basically just keep it very simple. You do need to have a Facebook presence, you need to have a Twitter feed, and you need to be on LinkedIn. You need to have a website to drive traffic to, and you need to be keeping up some kind of regular blogging. That is through the way sales are being done and the word is getting out there, and it may seem really daunting, but it's actually kind of fun. I wish that I was not the person who's going to take to that, but I'm actually really enjoying it. And having a good time building a community and a network and really getting to know people beyond what I ever could have imagined. And so for a lot of people that are really interested, as I said, that can be a lot of fun. I can talk to people individually about that if they want to. So let's see, I'm just going to end with a quote from Helen Hayes, and then I'm definitely open for questions. My mother drew a distinction between achievement and success. She said that achievement is the knowledge that you have studied and worked hard and done the best that is in you. Success is being praised by others, and that's nice too, but not as important or satisfying. Always aim for achievement and forget about success. And I would say, actually, in this day and age, don't forget about success. It's defined very differently these days. It might not be at the John Grisham level, where very few people actually get to that level, but to create a community, to be active in a community, to get your word out there is very doable, and you can have really extraordinary success with that, and you can go to the moon with that too. So that happens too. But I would absolutely put the emphasis on achievement. As I said, I'm about to be an overnight sensation. It took 30 years to get there. I've gotten into the habit of writing, and that I think is the most important thing. I so often have people say that they don't have the education, they don't have the experience, they're nervous about it. What really matters is the doing of it. So just remember that. And so you have some resources here. the best book for writing fiction, the best book I know of is Janet Dorway's Writing Fiction, the best for creative nonfiction or memoirs, a book called Tell It Slant. If you're having trouble getting started, a couple of things I really recommend are Marcia Golub's I'd Rather Be Writing and Eric Meisel's Coaching the Artist Within. Some other resources, I'm going to have a bigger list of these up on my website. If you're writing nonfiction and you're looking for a coach or class, Lisa Tenner at lisatenner.com is wonderful. Poetsandwriters.org and writersdigest.com are absolutely invaluable resources for anybody writing. And here's my contact information. As Liz said at the beginning, I'm going to be teaching class this summer on the web. And I do assessments with people. I do 30-minute assessment or a longer one in a coaching relationship. And I'm giving 5% to people who attended, who mentioned this webinar. And I am completely open for questions. Have a proposal. So that's the good news. I actually have recently seen people who were being asked for proposals even in fiction. But it's really in nonfiction that you need a big book proposal. So I wouldn't worry so much about that. What I'd say is the first thing you should do is if you think you have something that could go commercial, absolutely send it to agents. That requires a tremendous amount of research and connecting with the right agent. It's almost as hard to get an agent as it is to get a publisher these days. But I think that if you have that potential, if you think you could go commercial, you absolutely want to have an agent. So I would try that first. Or you could get somebody like me to assess your work and see whether it seems like it has that potential. After that, if it's not going that direction, you've tried it, it's not working out. And there are lots and lots of different ways to network. Go to conferences, meet agents there. You can often, when you register for a conference, like the James River Writers Conference, when you register for the conference, you get 10 minutes with an agent, just completely worth it. So I definitely try that, and then I would start looking at the small and university and niche presses and start sending queries out to them. So you start with a query letter first. But the query letter has to really, that's an art form too. You really want to make that terrific and really reflect your very best.
I'm going to get it.
I have never heard of it, and I'm going to write that down, and I'm going to look at it. I don't know about that. And, you know, I do know, contrary to popular belief, editors really are looking for good writers, and that is the reason that, you know, sometimes they'll go to conferences themselves, they'll, you know, they go out to lunch with agents all the time in the hopes that they're going to find somebody good. They honestly are looking for somebody good. One thing I would recommend that people do, just to be encouraging, is to sign up for a publisher's lunch. It's once or twice a week they'll send a list of the books that have sold. And so you can see that that books are being sold at the commercial level. And you can also get some ideas for agents to contact or publishers that you might contact. It's really the breaking through that is the difficult part. So if there is something out there that where commercial publishers are looking at, these call this over the transom. That means just manuscripts that were just coming in, not agented. That's a great thing. I can't imagine that they're spending a lot of time on it, but I will definitely take a look at it because that would be very good news. A lot of social media, a lot of getting out there. People have done some unbelievable work with this. There was an article not long ago in Poets and Writers by a writer named Kathy Beck, who self-published a book and then just did such a brilliant job of marketing it that on the launch day she drove her book sale number up to something like 68 on Amazon. She did a screen capture of that number and sent it to agents that she had already targeted and immediately got an agent. So there are definitely ways to do this, very creative. I would always recommend starting with the agent to get you to a publisher if you can. Then at the next level, really looking at the small and university presses, and then going it on your own. It's a lot of work, and you have to really commit yourself to that. Although, you know, the good news is anything can happen these days. So with the agents, you ordinarily, and I believe that this is still the case, if you're being asked to pay something to an agent, that's not really who you want to be working with. As I understand it, and this IOSIS is now outdated. But if you have somebody asking for a fee, that may be a scam with an agent. Agents get a cut, a percentage of sales, and it's anywhere from 15% to 20%, so it's relatively high, but that's what they're working for. So a good agent is going to be looking for a percentage of sales and not for a fee up front. The cost for self-publishing, as I understand it, it depends on the level. Again, you can buy different services, but I think that the cost for self-publishing come out, I think, around $5,000. The good news about that is that when you sell the book, once you've published it, if you're selling it yourself and you actually can get your sales up, you make all the profit once you've paid for it. So I've seen statistics that show that people actually make more money self-publishing. If they can make more money self-publishing than they can with small presses. So again, the whole world has gone upside down, but that can happen. Oh, sure, I'd be delighted. It's Ginger Moran. All one word, no cap. I don't have an agent right now. I've had several agents, so that role can really change. I'm going to be looking for an agent once this, I'm hoping what my goal is with my book is to sell it, is to push it up into the thousands, because it's coming out from a small press, and go back to that agent who said that she'd be willing to look at it if it got up into the thousands. So I'm not currently working with an agent. I did have one for my first book and my second book, I would definitely be looking for one, because really you don't want to be in the world of commercial publication without one. That's not a good idea. It's a very complicated world, not only for selling the book, but for dealing with all the legalities, the rights. And with all this very complicated business, and the agent really handles all of that for you. Is there more to that question today? Oh, okay. So the right agent for developing a memoir. It really is a question of frequently really meeting the person. So I would strongly recommend that you look at conferences in your area. Like if you're writing a religious memoir, there are conferences that have to do with religious writing. Just see if you can find a niche if you're focused in an area. My book takes place in Adirondack, so I'm going to be going to conferences in the Northeast. Look, and find out who's going there, find out who the agents are. It's so important to meet them face to face. Really, the name of the game is networking. So I would spend way more time going deep with research, find out what they have represented. So a great way to do it is just to go to the bookstore and find books that are like yours. Look in the acknowledgments, in the introduction. The agent will always be recognized there. So just make a list of those agents and start doing deeper and deeper research. Absolutely go to their website and find out specifically specifically what their guidelines are because they are all different and they really care how it comes into them. Some will want, you know, a synopsis, some just want a query, some want an email, some want a hard copy. So definitely show that you have done your due diligence and that you know them too. And then they'll be way more willing to get to know you. But again, remember, these people, it's hard to break into, but they are really, really, really looking for good writers. They actually will read magazines, they'll read literary journals. I've gotten letters from, I got a letter from an editor at McCall's when I published something in the Virginia Quarterly Review. She saw it, and she liked my writing, and she wrote to see if I had other stuff. So they are really looking, so don't be discouraged. There's a lot of interest out there. And you can see by walking into a bookstore, there are a lot of books out there. People are reading. So this is a very exciting time to be writing. About the different styles of creative nonfiction or memoir or personal essay. It sounds to me like some of them are very interested in what I would call a lyric essay, which is a very literary form. There are some that are just going to want to hear a story. So I would look at what it is they're representing. But those are all pretty similar. There are kind of shades of difference among those. It's all creative nonfiction for personal essays.
Thank you.
That's what I heard too. I heard exactly the same number, 20,000. And 20,000 is a lot of books. That is a lot of books. So that is what they're looking for. They're looking for the potential of a book to go to at least 20,000. So again, that you have to have a big subject. You have to have probably a pretty strong plot. You have to have well-developed characters. And again, you know, the publishers and even the agents these days don't want to see something that's in a developmental stage. They want to see something that's really finished and ready to go to press. So that's a hard number to hit. It's possible, but it's a little bit daunting. That is such such a great question because it really, really, really matters. So I would say that the best thing to do is to look at, get referrals. If they're raters, look at their ratings. Make sure that you know what their credentials are. If you're hiring somebody to do that, I would definitely look at all that. I would, you know, get several names and talk specifically to the person. If you're looking for a rating group or you're looking for a rating buddy, again, I would look for somebody who might not be rating exactly the same thing, but is rating at a similar level. In other words, you are both at somewhere in the same area for getting ready for publication. I had a group in Nashville where I was writing extremely lyric stuff, somebody else was writing historical fiction, somebody else was writing contemporary. We've all published since then, but we were right on the verge of publishing. So we were really helpful to each other because we could push each other over that edge. So look for people who are at a similar level, or if you're going to pay a professional, really, really vet them. Make sure that they're the right fit for you. Yeah, those are just my favorite people to work with. So I would really recommend, you know, following my suggestions, which are to sit down and write, set a goal, do it every day. Get it out there, get a group, you know, look for a group. Look for a class nearby. Like in Charlotte Civil, we have the university offers great night classes. There's a wonderful little writer's house. There's very frequently a great community. In Richmond, there's the James River Raiders. If you have any kind of group like that near you, or you can go to a book festival, the Virginia Festival of the Book here next week, there are tons of resources. Number one, write. You just have to get your butt in the chair and do it. That's all there is to that. And then take it to people. Get a group going. You can really help each other. I have just been in the world's best groups, and it's made all the difference to my writing. So I really suggest doing that. And again, you know, there are a lot of people out there like me who are doing coaching with people and really helping them bring their work along. And for me, that's the most fun. I'm working with a client now who's an Army major who's writing about IED detecting jobs in Afghanistan. It's a novel. And that I know nothing about that world whatsoever, but it's a good book. It's exciting. I've learned a lot from working with it. So that's just nothing but fun for the person working with you. I do an assessment of about 50 to 75 pages, something like that. I can really tell from that where it's going, and that's 350. And you get a full set of comments, written comments, and we have a couple of phone conversations about that. And I'll tell you where I think it is, what needs to be worked on, and what the next steps would be. I'm not going to be able to do it. And the world has just completely changed. We used to be really possessive of what we did, but first of all, if you wrote it, it's already copyrighted. It belongs to you, and nobody can take it from you. And in this digital world, it is all about giving everything away. So I have blog posts on my website that I would have thought, oh, this is so precious, I'm never going to give it away. But really, this world is about giving it away. And I, you know, if you can get people to interact with you about that, that is all to the good. It's all positive at this time. It's a very generous world out there. People will give you stuff. Again, that is completely reversed. And it's made it a much richer world and a much better community. Boy, is that a good question. I would say that one of the reasons is that with standard nonfiction, if you're talking about a how-to or reporting, a journalistic work, you're really looking for a language that is very standardized, and that is actually a whole other way of editing. You're really looking for, there can be a clear voice in it, but what you're looking for is very standardized. You're looking for the information, you're looking for the content. In fiction memoir, really what is can be far more important than that is the voice. And that can be very, very, very distinct, and it should be very distinct. It should belong only to that writer, where with nonfiction, you often can't tell who's writing it, and you shouldn't be able to tell. There should be real standardization to it, logic. A kind of recognizable form, where in fiction and memoir, you should have a strong voice. It should be very individual. There should be a clear style to it. That's a great question. I might get to blog about that. Sure, no, I'd be glad to. E-publishing is really, you're publishing something that appears only in digital form. It could appear as a PDF. I've seen some beautiful e-published PDFs that have been really well designed. But e-publishing is only appearing digitally unless somebody wants to print it out. Self-publishing is really about putting a book out so that you actually have a book in your hands, and probably the most used place at this point is CreateSpace and Amazon, where they do actually print a book for you.
I'm not sure.
That is a great question. I think the best thing to do is to really just do the research. Again, CreateSpace and Ex Libris are both places I've heard really, really good things about self-publishing. I would take a look at those, and I would just, you know, they're in the business of trying to get business, so they should give you an assessment. You should be able to compare. Again, I would look at exactly what their products look like and make sure that you're getting what you want from them. Again, the good news is a lot of the journals are publishing at least a piece online. So I would definitely spend some time with that. You know, it can be quite time consuming, but I would look up journals that you think are might possibly be interested in something like Writer's Market, come up with a whole database, and then really go online and look at those. Look really individually at what that particular editor is looking for, what that particular journal is looking for. Because again, as I said, you know, it can really just be kind of arbitrary. But a lot of those now are online. I would absolutely spend the time. It is so worth the time rather than wasting your time or in the old days your postage sending the things that are not in your style. Really look for that marriage. You're absolutely looking for a match there. Not an exact match, but sort of generally. I think that there's nothing whatsoever out there, never has been over time, you might have an additional challenge of trying to create a market. And I'm not in any way trying to discourage creativity, because that is how, you know, the different artistic forms have evolved. I mean, the novel is actually the most recent form of literature there is, and it was created in the 18th century. If somebody in the 18th century hadn't tried one, we wouldn't have novels today. So I strongly encourage people to explore forms, but if you're doing something that is a kind of, you know, combined form, you can talk about it as, you know, combines Stephen King and Martha Stewart or something like that. But because the publishing world is looking for something that's saleable, you'll have to find some way to talk about it that makes it accessible to people and makes them think that it will have sales without having to just totally create its own market. Yes, I haven't done too much of that. I've been working with a lot longer pieces, but yeah, I would certainly do that. I'm sure I'd be glad to. I would say for the most part, memoirs are like novels and don't generally need proposals. a how-to, a nonfiction book absolutely has to have a proposal. In fact, I think most people would not write the book without writing the proposal and selling the proposal first. That's not generally true of memoir novel, because what you're looking for in the memoir novel is the voice. And so you might need to do a synopsis after you've written it. But I would say with novel and memoir, you go ahead and write the book first. And with nonfiction, you write the proposal first. No, I would say absolutely not, because what they're looking for is they're looking for sales. And if you have something on your website and people are going to it, you have an active network, they are thrilled, and all they want you to do is to say, you know, for the complete work, you know, go to Barnes & Noble. That whole world has just completely changed and really is about giving stuff away. It's shocking but true. And also wonderful to me is there's an incredible wealth of material out there available. I'm just a little bit confused, so maybe you could clarify that question. usually you're not going to get a contract if they're not pretty sure they can sell it. So you can be pretty sure you've got a good book, or at least your publisher thinks that you do if you've gotten a contract. Maybe I might not be understanding that question quite right.
Okay.